You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. Thank yous for this episode go out to Robert Y, Itamar, Chris M, Trevor Y, Not Rob, Samurai Flea, Max Carnage, Matt Jans, Nick Patrick, and Anthony M. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show monetarily. Pretty great the perks you're getting too, right? Starting at just $1 a month, you can join them and help make this show happen. Go to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone to learn more and join them today. Hello and welcome to episode 115 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown. I'm getting geared up, guys. I've got my backpack over here, my trusty little flashlight. I forgot to put the batteries in, but I'm ready to gear up and get into the woods. And I brought a friend who is ready for this journey, I think, and ready to, we're packing buddies today as we get ready to jump in here. I'm joined by a Twitch streamer. Some of you guys know, some of you might not, but I know you're going to love her. Her name is Pear. What's going on, Pear?
Hi. I am so happy to be on the show. I love it. I'm just happy to be here.
Happy to have you. It's going to be a really good time. Now, I kind of met you through the Twitch space and your Hearthstone stream. Great community that you're creating over there. How long has that been going now for you?
For me, it's been going for about 8 months, I think. And yeah, I'm really happy with the community I've built so far. I've had a lot of help, a lot of other awesome like streamers and stuff. But yeah, I'm very happy with where it's at.
You should be. I mean, you know, something like that you can't ever totally create on your own, but it's always great when you got a great person at the helm of the ship, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, well, I know that we probably do have several listeners who haven't heard of you before. Tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got into gaming and Hearthstone, streaming, all of that stuff. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff to pack here, so we got some time. I want to hear the ultimate pair of stories here.
Plenty of time, oh goodness. Well, I started playing Hearthstone in September of 2016, and I will always remember that because I still don't have the Legion card back that came out for that month. I've loved Hearthstone ever since I started playing. I started playing it at first and was like, man, this game is expensive. But after I got into it, you really learn that you can find gold and do arena and stuff. So that's that was a lot of fun. But yeah, I started streaming, like I said, about 8 months ago, and it's been really amazing. I'm very happy with everything that my community and everybody else has done. I don't know. I'm just very happy.
So what got you into Hearthstone in the first place? I mean, did you have a friend who told you about it? Did you find an ad? Are you a Blizzard fan? How did that go down?
I think I've always been a Blizzard fan. I played WoW during the Mist of Pandaria expansion.
Oh,
and
nice. Okay.
So I knew about Hearthstone, and I didn't play it when it first came out, but after a while, people were talking about it, and so I just finally was like, all right, I'll try it, and here I am.
You got suckered into it, I guess.
I really did, yeah. I'm happy with it, though.
What are, and what's kind of your style in Hearthstone? Are you a ranked player? Do you like the arena? Do you like to bounce from format to format?
Honestly, I love all the formats. Like, I don't think there's a part of Hearthstone that I don't really like, except for the frustration of it sometimes, but I guess we'll talk
about
that later.
We'll have to deal with that. Absolutely.
But I mean, I've hit Legend in Standard, not Wild yet. I'm actually pushing for Wild Legend soon.
Okay.
I've gotten up to like 9 wins in Arena. I think that's my best. And
that's pretty good.
I play it all.
Nice. Now, what would you say is your favorite class or deck? What's the time when, man, you were just on the highest of highs playing the deck you knew you were meant to play?
It was my favorite class ever is gonna be Rogue. I love Valyria.
Really?
I love her shiny green eyes. I got Golden Rogue. That was my first Golden class, and I've loved her ever since. Miracle Rogue is always gonna be one of my favorite decks. Back with Conceal and everything. I miss Conceal sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like Tempo Rogue also, but it's gone now.
I think that that's when I started watching you. You were streaming a lot of Tempo Rogue because, I mean, Rogue had some really good times recently before Bone Mare got the nerf bat.
Yeah, my poor Bone Mare. I pulled double Golden Bone Mare and I was so happy with that.
No.
And then it was like a heartbreak when it needed nerfs. It needed to happen, though.
Yeah, it did. It really did. Well, that's good. And let's see, what else? Well, when you started streaming, did that happen just kind of on a whim? Or was it something that you were really strategic about? Man, this is what I want to create. I know that stories are kind of soup to nuts when it comes to starting up a Twitch. But so what's yours?
It really was just kind of on a whim, man. Like, I had been talking about it with my boyfriend a lot. And he was like, well, why don't you just do that? You're always watching Twitch streamers, like, you really seem to like Hearthstone. And I was like, man, that's a good point. Why don't I? And so I took my taxes. I bought a computer. I got everything set up. And then I talked myself into it for like a month. And here I am. I wouldn't change a thing, though. Absolutely. So happy.
That's awesome. What would you say to somebody who maybe has been in that boat wanting to get started, but kind of feeling, I don't know, you said you had to talk yourself into it over a long period of time. Like, what would you say to somebody who might find themselves in a similar boat right now?
There's a lot of stuff I had to consider before I started streaming. It's a huge time commitment. Like, anytime I have to, like, up and cancel a stream, you know, don't give them, like, a day's notice or tell them beforehand. I feel so bad. It's like, I don't know.
They're your people, right?
Exactly. It's like, they would be there for me, and I'm not there for them this one time. But everybody understands most of the time. Sometimes it's like Bible thump, but... definitely the time. I would say just dip your toes in, but don't let the trolls get to you. That's mm-hmm. my biggest advice. Don't let them get to you. Just instantly ban them and keep going. If you're actually interested in streaming, you'll know what trolls can do on the internet.
They're pretty quick to reveal them. I mean, they may stay in the shadows for a while, mm-hmm. but when they poke their heads out,
you know.
You can catch them pretty quick.
Yep.
Well, that's great. I do have to ask this, too, since Twitch is your gig. I know Hearthstone's your main game. Have you ever streamed any games other than Hearthstone on your Twitch on a whim?
Yes. Actually, I tried to stream Heroes of the Storm, but apparently my computer can't handle that.
Oh, no.
it was very laggy. But we also, for some of the people that were, you know, constantly there, they asked for a different game, and I was like, well, do you guys like Outlast? Because I have that game. And so I played about a week of Outlast, and it was the most, like, stressful jump scare moments of my life. But
I have not played it yet, but that is all that I hear about that game.
Oh, my God, you will jump out of your pants. Like, I almost flipped my chair, I swear, like, two or three times,
I bet.
Probably.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, good. Well, really glad to have you on the show, Pierre. I have to ask, as we always do, why are you happy tonight? Well, let's get into the happy Hearthstone mood of things.
Well, I have so many reasons to be happy right now. Like, Blizzard is being so nice to us. The new expansion is almost here. We're getting a pack for every quest we complete. Like, that alone is a reason for me to be happy, but... I'm also loving the card reveals. Like, the pace that they're going seems really, really nice. Like, it seems like we're getting more than one card a day. And
yeah,
it's like every time you look anywhere, there's a card somewhere. Like, you know, Reddit, Twitter, they're somewhere. I think it's amazing. I think they really, really hit the mark with this one, with this release. Mm.
When they've been honing their craft over all of these expansions, you know. I mean, I don't even remember at this point how they did it with Goblins versus Gnomes way back in the day, but they definitely have gotten to the point where they're like, okay, people like everything in a short amount of time, and they really want the expansion to just hit at the end of it. So, no, not at all. And I totally agree. I'm always, every day I'm checking on Hearthpwn, they have like a countdown for the upcoming reveals. And so I can kind of just get it in my mind like, okay, 8 hours from now, we're going to see Voodoo Doll thing, whatever it is. So it's fun seeing all of those different ones. And yeah, the season is really good. Hopefully in a little over a week, we'll actually finally be playing with all these cards. But it's always fun seeing it all happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I'm happy today because I was actually forced by my work to take some time off. And that sounds bad, but it was actually like a company-wide thing. I didn't know this, but apparently companies have to keep this is really boring financial stuff that even I'm really not interested in, but it's kind of interesting. Apparently, like HR for companies have to keep so much money in their reserves based off of your vacation time, and it's so that they can pay you based off of if you were just to take vacation on a whim that you've accrued, not fake vacation or something. And apparently our finance team at my company found out like we've got a ton of money like in reserves because people just won't take their vacation. And so our CEO at our last company meeting said, by June 1, you have to take off half of the time that you've accrued. Everybody. Like, I don't care if you've been working here a week or 10 years. And so it was kind of inconvenient, actually, because my wife and I are planning a vacation in July. So it was like, wow, are we going to have enough time? But thankfully, they were generous in some other areas and stuff. They gave us extra time over July 4th and Christmas upcoming this year. So so they did kind of force our hand with something, but it's going to be really helpful for the company, which it's nice to have a positive impact on the company you work for like that, especially when it comes with taking time off. So I took some time off, spent some time with my family. My wife had off spring break because she works at a school. So we got some good time in the good Colorado weather. Actually, we didn't get outside too much because we've been getting ready for a big move. So we're moving some family out who have been staying in our house. And we're actually going to have some room to ourselves finally. So it's a really long extended story that probably I don't need to get into, but I will say that we're both really looking forward to kind of having our own space. I'm sure a lot of you guys have had that experience where it's necessary. You either need to house somebody or you're the person who has to kind of intrude like for a time. And it's been like 11 months of this now. So it's finally like, okay, it's time for us to get some breathing room, have some friends over and stuff like that. So, really looking forward to that. And, thank you so much. Really, it's not our doing. It's more like, okay, finally, my father-in-law's work kind of, got their stuff together, I guess. But I'm thankful for that, certainly. But obviously, we're all excited because it is Witchwood reveal time. There's lots to be excited about. In fact, we're still estimating that Thursday, April 12th is when we're going to see this set revealed, or when the set is actually going to drop in client and everything. That would have us on April 9th, we think, is when all of the cards are going to get revealed. And at that time, as you guys know, every review season, we wait until all of the cards have been revealed so Wicked Good and I can get on and record for an obscene amount of hours and talk about every single card as in detail as we can, give them arbitrary reviews that really don't mean anything but are fun to look back on and realize that I was totally wrong about Primal Fin Totem and Steve was totally wrong about Hydrologist. So we do that. It's a lot of fun. And so right now, we think that that'll be next week that we'll be able to record that, get it in your eardrums, and it'll be a lot of fun. And so we don't talk about the cards much before them, but it's not like we can turn a deaf ear, right? I mean, like you said, we're getting several cards a day, and there are some cool, cool cards that are coming down the pipeline. So we each picked one that we're going to talk about. We're going to try and stifle our excitement just down to pure joy in one. So, Pear, what is the card that you chose for us to talk about here?
Oh, goodness. Is it even possible, though, to put all my excitement into one card?
Not really. It's too much pressure. I'm really sorry for that.
No. We'll get through this. I'm sure.
Yes. Somehow.
So I picked Imerys, the 10 mana 8/8 hunter legendary dragon. It's a legendary hunter dragon. And crazy. The battle cry is double the attack and health of all minions in your hand. And now I know a lot of people are saying this is bad. And some people are like, oh my god, this is crazy. I think it's just a really fun card. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to possibly make a dragon hunter, possibly. If not, it'll be some crazy combos with, like, King Crush in, like, the super late game. Even if it's not viable, I'm going to try to make it work somehow.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun, if nothing else, right? The legendary cards are always so tough because they're so rare. And yet they've really swung things from the beginning of the Hearthstone era. The legendary cards were the really strong cards. And so it kind of furthered the free-to-pay kind of mentality and stuff. Or pay-to-win, that's what it is, mentality. But they've really shifted things into legendaries being very interesting cards. There are still several that are kind of necessary for certain archetypes and stuff. But I think this is a perfect example where this is a very interesting card that you are going to have fun with, absolutely. And there are some interesting combos, like you mentioned, King Crush. I mean, really anything with charge is going to be really interesting. I think the question is, are we going to see some other minions that can kind of take the mid-range game of dragons? Or actually, I mean, Hunter is probably the class that would be fine with just this mid-range package already.
Probably. Hunter's going to be in such a weird spot, though, because, like, I mean, it's got the Barn Joshiraj now, and that's going, but, I mean, the Spellstone might be enough to carry it, but I'm not sure. I think that the other Hunter Legendary will be really necessary for the Hunter decks to come.
Yeah, and it is kind of, it's funky and exciting at the same time that they're getting a Legendary Dragon. I was thinking of Gazrilla. But that was a beast, which makes sense. So I don't know if maybe we'll see some other supporting cards in the Hunter arsenal to make Dragon Hunter a thing. But you're probably going to be excited if you pull this. Are you going to dust this if you don't get it, Pear?
Oh goodness. I can never dedicate to dusting anything first day, so I'm going to have to wait and see. But definitely probably going to craft it if I don't open it, just for fun.
I mean, if you got the dust, then you might as well at some point. That's pretty exciting. The one that I chose is a really funky one, and I really don't know what to do with it yet. This is Dollmaster Dorian, a 5-mana 2/6 legendary neutral minion, and it reads, whenever you draw a minion, summon a 1/1 copy of it. So, you know, immediately you think of Barnes because that's the 1/1 copy thing. But this is like a persistent effect. And what's really interesting is that because this happens when you draw a minion, it actually gives your opponent information. So they know all of a sudden that you have something in your hand. But at the same time, if it's good enough, Yashiraj is rotating out, but it's kind of the, you know, quintessential summon a 1/1 copy of it minion. Do you really care if your opponent knows that you have Yashiraj in your hand, because you're going to be able to just take something out of your deck immediately? I mean, I think that the 1/1 copies can go one of two ways. One, they're really powerful when they have big death rattles. So you think of like Cairn Bloodhoof or a Savannah Highmane or something like that. Or if they have a really strong persistent end of turn effect, something like that. Like Yashiraj, or I'm trying to think of another example.
Yeah,
can you think of anything that would be interesting to take off this?
I was trying to think of something, but I mean, nothing really comes to mind.
I mean, Nazdormu, you know, for the memes, obviously, but I just think it's a very it's just a nice package that like this That it gives your opponent information while at the same time gives you, you know, kind of an advantage. The hard thing is that because it's when you draw a minion, it's unpredictable what you're going to get. So I feel like it's a very balanced card. You can't control, at least as far as we know yet, like which minion you will draw. This could be interesting when like combined with a an Elven Minstrel or something like that. So you play this and that on turn 9 and you summon 2/1/1 copies of whatever you drew. So there are some ways to take advantage. Or I think I saw Navalis on Twitter tweeting this and Divine Favor. So if Dorian's the last card in your hand, goodness. And you can, I mean, you can get a full board off of that.
Wow.
The question is it really stuff that makes a difference? Is it really what you want? I don't know. I do think that it's a very interesting mechanic, though, and it's always fun for me to kind of see these cards and recognize that they are going to really send deck builders in a frenzy.
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to be more excited than ever to watch like Jackie Chan, like just testing everything and stuff like that.
Have so much fun.
It's just great when like the meta is the wild, wild west and people are just playing with what they drew. And I don't know, streamers just go crazy. What's your plan for day one on your stream? What does that look like for you?
So many packs. I'm so excited to open packs, obviously. But I think I'm gonna try to figure out a way to make Rogue work with actually this card, because I feel like there's something there. I don't know what it could be yet. I want to see all the cards. I haven't really theory crafted or anything. I'm just waiting to see all the cards, and then I put my puzzle together, you know.
And that's exactly why we kind of hold off on the reviews.
Exactly.
'Cause it's like,
you can never predict the meta at all. It's so
exactly.
It changes every day still. Like,
yeah. I did see my buddy the Eggman talking about Dolemaster Dorian with Roll the Bones, because you like the Death Rattle minions as 1/1s because you just get more value off of them. Actually, you know, I know jades are rotating out, but Jade Rogue could be really interesting with Dorian too.
I'm gonna have to venture into Wild with this card.
Do
some
it.
Jade Rogue. That'll be fun.
I think that there's a lot of potential with that. Well, lots of fun with that. I hope you guys are enjoying the quest or packs for quests also. The last day for that is going to be April 9th. And like Pear mentioned, being able to get those free packs for every quest that you're completing is great. The fact that they're giving us Witchwood packs preemptively also is just like, that's extremely generous. You know that we want to pay for those packs. So for you to say, here, we'll give you a 1 in 4 chance of a free Witchwood pack, I will take that. I mean, can't open it, I know, but I'm okay with that. So, yeah, really exciting to see all the last cards. And I'll be sure to update you guys on Twitter with what is going down as we find out and what the plans are for our review episodes and everything like that. And speaking of which, I want to take a quick break, a quick sponsor break to talk about our Patreon. I want to thank all of you guys who came out this past month and supported the show, kept us in that flow where we can keep coming out with weekly episodes. It really has been so much fun creating this content for you guys. And we've got another really exciting partnership with one of the listeners, Daring Alkaline. Super generous. He wanted to jump in and kind of support the show. And so he has put together some packages of Witchwood packs that we're going to give away to listeners. And it's in conjunction with the review episodes and with the Patreon. So here's the deal. What's going to happen is as the review episodes are released, I'm going to put out some tweets and they will be a retweet and follow campaign, basically. We want to get the word out. And I'll just let you guys know the review episodes are our most listened to episodes. I don't know about you, Pear, but like I can't stop listening to people's opinions on cards, basically, about review time.
I love the different opinions and matching my opinion to their opinion. It's so much fun. I love card review, like podcast streams, all of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I couldn't agree more. So I'm always listening to just as much, checking in on whoever has an opinion, which are a lot of people. But it's exactly. So we want to get out there and just let other people who may not have listened to the show yet know about those review episodes. So for everyone who participates in that, we'll be giving away 7 packs of Witchwood. to one lucky winner. So excited to do that. And then at the end of this month of April 2018, we'll be giving away two more 7-packs of Witchwood packs, and those will go to some patrons of the show. So just as a thank you for those of you who are helping to support the show monetarily and helping us to reach those goals, being able to do more, extend our reach and everything. So super thankful for Alkaline reaching out and doing that, and just really excited for that. So if you haven't checked out the Patreon yet, be sure to go check it out, patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Lots of great perks starting at $1 a month. $5 a month, you get some cool exclusive weekly content. I'll be doing some predictions for the patrons this week. It looks like it's going to be around, I put up a poll on Twitter and Patreon, and it looks like you guys want to hear about Rogue and Hunter. So I guess I'll be going in depth with the Emerus and seeing what's happening with that. But really excited to be able to do that. If that's something that's interesting to you, go check it out, and really appreciate those of you who are given there. So Pear, there's a lot to talk about, because there's this game called Hearthstone that we could basically talk about all night. But you come up with some great stuff here that it's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like it's really ending the era of the Year of the Mammoth really well. So I'm excited to talk through this stuff with you.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to talk about, well, first of all, Blizzard's communication with us over the ladder adjustments. Some people are really mad. Some people are, you know, some people could care less. Some people are, I would say more, they look at other games and they feel like they should have that, but Hearthstone is its own game in itself, and I think that the fact that Blizzard communicated the changes with us even after they did it is still a step in the right direction. They said that they wanted to, you know, communicate more with us, and I think that was a big issue the community had last year, but I just hate seeing people bashing on Blizzard because they tried to make a change to make everything work, and it was at a really bad time when they made this change. But
yeah, and for those who may not be aware, can you kind of bring us up to speed on what that little snafu was?
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
No, you're
so good. Well, it was about 3 or 4, maybe 5 days before the ladder reset last month, and there were some changes done to ladder that nobody actually really knew about. Like, Blizzard hadn't told us or mentioned it anywhere. And they had made it to where, normally, I'm pretty sure people were gaining, like, 200 ranks and maybe losing, like, 100 or 75-ish, I guess. And with the new change, some people, I saw one person who won a game and lost a couple ranks in High Legend. I saw where somebody, I literally saw this, it was a screenshot. Some people were gaining like 3 or 4 or 5 ranks, and that's not how it's supposed to be, even in High Legend. Like, even at like Dumpster, well, I say Dumpster, I'm in Dumpster, I don't think it's Dumpster, I hate that term.
I know,
but
what you mean though, yeah.
Everybody knows what I mean when I say that, but
yeah.
People in that rank were still gaining like maybe 100, you know, ranks, and it just felt like once you started to lose, you couldn't really climb back up. And so after they fixed this, they didn't tell us when they fixed it. They didn't tell us, you know, before when they originally done the change. And so after everything got settled down, then they came out and said, oh, we fixed this. We want to talk to you guys more about the changes. We just didn't know it was going to be this big of a thing, pretty much. And I don't know. I think it's good that they're talking, but I kind of wanted to get your opinion on how they handled it, pretty much.
Yeah, I think that on one hand, I get why highly competitive players were upset about this. Hearthstone is not a small part of their livelihood. And so small changes like this, when you're trying to compete to be in the top 50, 25, or 10 in a region, it's a really big deal, you know? So I get them being more than a normal amount of tilt during a play session, you know, about something like this, especially when Blizzard could have been more transparent about it. Now, on the other side, I also understand from a company standpoint that you can't ever have your entire hand on the table the entire time, right? Even things like this that do have a big impact. I mean, the truth is we would be drowning in information if Blizzard told us literally everything just about Hearthstone, let alone all their other games out there, you know?
I don't think people understand that, really. Like, they want to know every single thing, and it's just like, maybe you really don't need that?
Sometimes ignorance is bliss. And I think it gets to, like, a deeper human issue that we oftentimes feel entitled to things that really, like, when if you can step back and really look at it black and white, we have no reason feeling entitled about. And, obviously a bigger deal for the people who are trying to qualify for HCT events and stuff like that. But even then, this is probably not going to make or break it for you. You know, if you are a consistent top 10 player, which, by the way, I don't think anybody is in any region. I could totally be wrong because I don't really pay attention to it. But if you're that good, you will bounce back and get enough points. Like, this is not your only month that you can do that or the only event you can. So, I totally agree with you, too, that just the fact that they were willing to say, hey, guys, we were wrong. And we're really sorry about that. Like, I honestly do believe them when they come, especially because they don't have to. No company has to admit they're wrong. They can just say, well, yeah, whatever, we'll change it next time. So for them to kind of take a place of humility, that really causes me to have a lot of respect for them. And really believe their intentions going forward in the future. So I think they'll be a bit more transparent on these issues, especially with the people who want to hear this. And for those of you listeners who maybe, you know, high-level competition in Hearthstone is just not your thing, don't even worry about it.
It's done. We're good now.
Yeah, for the average Hearthstone player, I mean, this is a non-issue entirely. But if you have heard some skerfuffles about the high level players and stuff, this is the why, and it's okay. Like, they're gonna keep making it better, keep improving, and hopefully when big changes come around this system, they'll be a bit more forthcoming that, hey, here's how things are gonna work going forward. This will kick off next month or something like that.
Hopefully. Like, we still don't even have a release date yet. I gotta bring that up. Like, where is the release date?
And I am all for that before hearing anything about Legend. I just want the pretty new cards.
Exactly. But no, I really just wanted to bring up how Blizzard is handling it now. Like, the ladder stuff, it sucks, but I just really like how Blizzard at least tried.
Yeah.
They tried. But I also wanted to talk about the new and the free-to-play experience with the new expansion coming. I just wanted to warn everybody, like, I know everybody sees that one card, and it's probably a legendary, because, you know, those are usually the really, really fun ones, and you want to craft it day one, and I fell into this trap with Katharina Whisperwind?
No. Winter Wisp?
Yes, Winter Wisp, thank you. I fell into that trap, and I haven't really used her since, so I'm not new, and I'm not free to play, so, you know, the 1600 dust wasn't, like, you know, a week or two worth of grinding and stuff to get that. So
sure.
I just really want to remind everybody, please don't craft, you know, some crazy legendary day one. Like, just wait a week, and I promise you'll more than likely be happier with your decision.
At least a week.
Yep. I always say wait a week.
I will say for your girl Katharina, and for any legendaries you might be tempted by with this expansion, the good news is that you've still got a good length of time for them to become viable, right? So this upcoming Witchwood expansion will be in standard for 2 full years. So it's the ones at the end of the year that you really want to kind of be tight on and say, like, oh, do I really want that or need
exactly.
that?
Exactly, yeah.
And also with Hall of Fame coming up, if you have the spare dust and don't have Molten Giants or Cold Light Oracles or Ice Blocks, might as well craft them, because you're going to get that dust right back once Witchwood drops. So I know my buddy who I talked about on the show last week, who just started up a few months ago, I realized, oh, he probably doesn't know about Hall of Fame stuff, and he really should craft those things because it's free cards, basically. So yeah, if that's you, those are the three cards that if you don't have two of, you should craft two of.
Yep. Highly suggest getting that. Literally free dust and free cards. Like, they're just moving to a different format, but they're still there, and Blizzard just gives it. It's just such a good deal. Just do it.
I do love how they're continuing that, too. I mean, I remember being really surprised when they introduced the Hall of Fame that, wait, they're just giving us dust? Like, we don't have to... It makes so much sense because they want you to play Wild. They don't want to, like, you know, discourage you from playing Wild. So it's again, another generous move. And just, it feels great as a player when they spoil us.
Really does. Like, I just don't want to get too spoiled on all of, like, the 70 packs, you know. I'm scared they're going to take that away from me and I'm going to cry.
For the next set, you mean?
Yeah.
I kind of am biting my tongue a little bit. Like, are they just really trying to make a push for this expansion, or is this the new thing?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing, Blizzard?
I like it. I really do like it.
Don't get my hopes up, please.
the entitlement thing, that can creep in sometimes when you get there.
Exactly.
Gotta be careful.
For sure. So I also wanted to talk about how to be ready for the meta shift with the new expansion. I like, my biggest goal usually right before an expansion is to try to get to a floor. You know, you get to a floor, you feel safe, you're just like, I cannot lose stars. I'm immune to you. And I just always want to say, get to a floor, get to somewhere that you can have fun at. Because if you're, like, right in the middle, you're, like, at rank 6 or something, and the new, you know, the new expansion releases, you're probably going to drop because people are going to be playing crazy stuff. So just be ready for that. Be ready for all the insanity. And definitely, I would say, wait a little bit to see what everybody else is playing, because that's usually a good idea of how to make a deck to counter what everybody else is playing. So,
You're that level 2 player, aren't you? I think that's what they call people who try to counter.
But that's really all I had to say about that. Just hold off, try to counter the best deck if you can, and have fun if you can't. You know, just play with the new cards.
Yeah. I mean, especially just, like, the stuff that you get that excites you. You know, you get that one legendary that you were hoping to pull. Like, if you're Rod from Tier 5, make that Togwaggle deck. You know, like, just do whatever sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and have fun doing it.
Right. But since we don't have the new expansion yet, let's talk about how to make the ladder feel better right now and how to keep it interesting, because I've noticed, you know, for the, like, past month, it's been a lot of the same decks. Clearly, you know, we're at the end of an expansion. It's going to happen. Totally normal, but I just wanted to say I've heard of a lot of really interesting decks and how to keep, you know, at least your game kind of interesting. I would say if there's any decks that you thought were just too broken, you know, like, I never played Big Priest, okay? I hate Big Priest with a fiery passion. Barnes on 3 is, like, the bane of my existence, but
It's pretty bad playing.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. But I played about 10, maybe 15 games of Big Priest, and I actually had a lot of fun because it's like, well, I'm on this end now. I know how it feels to be over there, and it doesn't feel good. But I'm having fun. I'm having a ton of fun with my Obsidian Statue on 4, you know? And so if there's any decks that, you know, they're losing a key part of a combo or something, I say just go ahead and play that. If you have the dust, if you have the cards, just play that super OP deck that you've always hated, you know? Like, Q-Block, you can't play that because it's not losing anything. But, you know, just play something fun. Just try to have fun while everything is still like this, because you might look back at this meta and be like, man, I kind of miss that meta, you know?
Yeah, Q-Block is not missing much, but there are a lot of other cards that, because they're rotating out, and we can't speak with full certainty because, again, we haven't seen all these cards, but stuff like Ice Block that's getting rotated out, I know a lot of people are tired of that and ready for it. I would say I'm one of those people, but
absolutely.
I love what you said, that like you're never going to have this chance to have this meta again. So if Quest Mage is your jam, or you've hated it for too long, play it a little bit and see what it feels like to have infinite fireballs, because I'll tell you what, when it works, it kind of does feel great. So.
I bet it does. That might be one of the other combos I'll have to try before it goes.
There's still potential with it, but I mean, when you got double Ice Block, it's just two extra turns to, you know, get to the combo you need.
Yeah, I feel like that'll be a wild deck now.
Probably.
But how would you say to keep the ladder interesting, and what do you do at the end of an expansion? I'm always curious, because...
Sure. I think that I couldn't agree more with what you said, that like if there's ever been something that you say, yeah, I'm never doing that, just do it. Just try it out. See how it goes. Play more than one game with it, you know, and actually like learn that stuff. So when the Raza nerf was announced, I mean, I was pretty sick of Raza at that point. But the reality was we were never going to have him back. So I realized I need to jam some Raza games, because outside of whatever Tavern Brawl that was like, you know, Hearthstone champion winner decks that were like pre-nerf and stuff, that was pretty cool. So we'll probably get little tastes like that, but you won't ever have the full experience again. So honestly, that's like the biggest thing I would say. The other thing is, I would say that... Well, one very simple thing is just saving your gold. So I did have to, I had to tell my new friend who's playing Hearthstone, hey, by the way, are you saving gold? He's like, saving for what? For a new expansion. He's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So if you haven't been doing that, a little bit behind, but every little bit matters. Don't just spend it all on classic packs, because which would be around for a good long while. And also, it's another... I feel like Wild is really, really a fun palate cleanser, as it will.
So much fun, yes.
And I don't want to offend any of our like Wild listeners who maybe you're a big Wild player, because the truth is that the format is really fun and it is a full experience. But you know, I think that I'm always going to tend towards standard. And playing in Wild is just like this breath of fresh air for me, where it's like, oh yeah, these cards exist, and I forgot about this combo, or oh, I didn't think of how these Naxxramas cards would match with Kobolds and Catacombs, and like, that's crazy, you know? So so I would say, especially if you're feeling like maybe the meta has settled a bit too much for you, or you find yourself, like I did at the beginning of the month, just not being able to win with anything that I tried. Go venture into Wild and try something just completely wacky and random. If you think Big Priest is crazy and standard, holy cow, Wild is like bananas crazy.
And Ragnarok.
Yes. Rag is a card. I have seen a board with like 8 rags on it. Or no, that's not possible. 7 rags, I guess. But
7 rags is possible.
It broke the game somehow, I swear. So those are the things I would say. And like, if nothing else, actually, I think I talked about this last week, play something different. Like, Hearthstone is a lot of fun. Don't give it, and it will always be my primary game. I mentioned last week that I picked up Hollow Knight on Steam, and I'm still playing it, and I'm still having the time of my life. And it's just something so wildly different that's kind of got my brain thinking on something else. So I can even think of Witchwood cards while I'm playing that or something. So regardless, there's plenty of stuff to do inside of the game and outside of the game to just ready your heart and your soul for the new expansion and a new year of Hearthstone.
Yeah. It's a very exciting time.
Absolutely.
I think the last thing I wanted to talk about was really just, I know this probably doesn't, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? speak to everybody, I guess. But I wanted to make sure everybody knew that Maiev is going away with the rotation. And if, like, I'm sure everybody on their main service has already gotten Maiev, but if you ever, you know, for some reason had a thought, maybe I'll go over to Europe server and start doing stuff over there, I suggest getting Maiev, because she probably won't be coming back, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
It's a good reminder. She'll be replaced by... the daughter of Sanira, Lunara, is that her
yeah,
name?
Yeah,
the alternate druid.
Yeah, very excited about the new druid.
Yeah, we've all been waiting for that for a long, long time. But
yeah,
but a good courtesy reminder that if you do want Maiev on those other servers or anything like that, mm-hmm. go get her, because we don't know. I would kind of be surprised if they never bring her back, or like Tyrande, or
yeah.
I mean, never is just such a strong word, you know, and especially since they've kind of said that they're going to work in how to get past card backs. You might actually get your Legion card back at some point.
I was so excited when I heard that. I was like, Impro, don't you do this to me.
But yeah, I kind of think for heroes, especially since they're a bit more iconic. Yeah, I'd just be surprised if they never come back. In some, now, we don't know, and there's no guarantee for sure, so... So go get her if you don't yet, but we'll have to wait and see if there comes a time when players who start playing Hearthstone in 2021 have a chance of getting Maiev as an alternate hero at some point.
Let's hope they do.
Man, well, that's some good stuff there. I appreciate all of the thoughts, and I hope you guys are enjoying the end of the season, no matter if you're having to play a different game or if you're jamming your goals and continuing to do well in Hearthstone. Regardless, you never are going to have this again. So I appreciate you bringing that up here. And just some great thoughts to keep the fuel in our gas tanks to make it through. We can persevere until we're in the woods. Well, great. Well, let's go ahead and move into our community section. I remembered this time, finally, thankfully, to ask a question on Twitter to you guys. So my question for you guys was, what's your best way to get yourself out of tilt mode? I know that we've all got to deal with tilt from time to time. And like I mentioned, this was not a great start of the month for me. I hit Legend last month, and so I started at rank 4 and 0 stars. Yeah. I dropped down to 5, and I could not, 5 and 0 stars, and I could not, like, I couldn't get a positive win rate to save my life. I think I was at like 34% the other day or something.
No.
So it was just not going well. I was bouncing from deck to deck, but I was definitely struggling. I will tell you guys that I think when Wicked Good was on The Daring Reporter, he mentioned on there that like he and I are sort of like gym buddies when it comes to Hearthstone. So I love Steve. He's a good friend. And especially when it comes to Hearthstone, we can kind of commiserate with each other. But we trust each other. We're not just going to kind of... keep the salt flowing.
Yeah.
When I'm really struggling with tilt, I'll tell you that he's kind of my first go-to. That's like, Steve, this just happened. Can you believe it? And he's typically, his response is something along the lines of, no, Andrew, I can't believe it, but you're going to be okay. I promise. You're not a bad Hearthstone player. Just something bad happened and you need to learn from it if you can. And so I'll tell you guys that there's nothing much more helpful to me than having like somebody personal like that who I trust, who's going to point me towards the gamer that I want to be rather than the gamer that I am. Because even though I may be the face of the happy Hearthstone, I'm not happy 100% of the time when I play this game. No, I don't think so. But I do kind of have those things in place. So whether that is a friend who kind of is your gym buddy, or maybe a Discord server or a Twitch chat where like these are the people who kind of you help each other with, maybe, you know, that would be my biggest thing. What about you, Pear? How do you get yourself out of tilt mode when that happens?
Oh my goodness. If any of you have been in my stream, you have seen me tilt so so far. Oh my goodness.
It has to happen.
I mean, it has to. It really is a part of Hearthstone, but it's not a part that we should let, like, really control us, because sometimes I will let my tilt control me. I will just keep jamming games, and I'm like, no, I'm better than this. I can win. I can get to this specific point. And that's never what you want to do. You usually end up losing more than you're ever going to win in that situation. Right. What I do, I always, if I'm starting to tilt, you know, like a game where you had to have this, 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 and this to win, and he had it, I'm just like, I'm going to go take a break. Like, literally 5 minutes to clear your head will be more rewarding than playing five more games in a row while you're tilting. I can guarantee you from personal experience. And definitely, like you said, have somebody to talk to. Have somebody that's always upbeat and knows that they can help you and you can help them, you know, in these situations. I have a lot of streamers and I just go into the channel and I'm just like, hi, this happened, help me not tilt. they have so far, so I'm very thankful for that. But definitely turn to a friend or just leave the game.
It's always an option. It's never the one that feels good.
Exactly.
Because it's like, I'm better than that and I have to prove myself. Mm-hmm. But I think that all of us have made the terrible choice of deciding I'm just going to play until I win. And then you lose so many games in a row that it's probably the absolute worst thing you could do.
Yeah, the opposite of what you should have done, definitely.
No. But I totally agree with you. Sometimes getting up to just clear your head is some of the best stuff. I wish we had time for me to read all of these responses that you guys gave, but I've got to read at least a few of them. Actually, my friend Eve from Villains Chosen wrote something similar to you. She said, number one, I get up and walk away. And number two, I listen to music, pull up YouTube, and blast some K-pop to get my mind on something silly and fun. So I love that she said really engaging her brain with something very different and that kind of forces her into a different mood. I think that's really quite genius, honestly.
I had never thought of just listening to music. I actually love that idea, and I'm going to use it probably.
Yeah. I have a playlist on my Spotify that's called Songs That Feed My Soul. And these are like the songs, you know what I'm saying? Like, not just I like these songs, but truly like something happens inside me that is unexplainable when I listen. And so like, having something that really just engages you on a deeper level can be really good for that. This is a really interesting response. My buddy Red Knight, who's one of our patrons for the show, he said, this sounds crazy, but I have started embracing the suck. He said, let me explain. Before streaming, I'd walk away, but streaming makes that harder. So now I sit there and just try and laugh it off. So this didn't work the first time, but now it's way better. Oftentimes facing the bad pays off. So this is, it's not like trying to prove the bad wrong. It's just saying like, okay, you know, maybe, you know, that's funny that that happened or something. It's a different way of sort of facing, dismissing, and kind of moving past it. So I really like that.
I really I like that.
Another one here, Midgame HS on Twitter said, probably not a normal one, but I usually pick up an instrument and play music, occasionally singing about what's happening in the game if I keep playing Hearthstone while playing the game. So
I love that. I wish I could play an instrument.
Well, maybe you can learn one. I mean, there's always time. But even if it is just singing or something, I think that's a great idea. Again, it's getting your brain engaged with something else. Even if it's some other hobby that you have on the side, I don't know if you're a woodworker or you like cooking. I don't know. I'm just speaking off the top of my head. But yeah, I like the idea of really doing something else that you're good at to kind of give yourself a little self-confidence, because that can wane for me in those moments.
Absolutely.
I think that's really good. And one of my favorite ones here was from Crosswords on here. He just had a one-word answer, scotch. You know, sometimes it's not a bad option too, but so.
No, it's not ever a bad option when tilting, I'm sure. Just don't play Hearthstone or Drive afterwards.
both bad options in conjunction, but if you just need some time and you need a little sippy sip, that's okay, man. So
just sit down, relax, get a bottle of scotch.
So, thank you guys so much for your answers on that. That was really a lot of fun. So I'll keep trying to bring those up. We'll move on to the iTunes reviews here. I cannot thank you guys enough, man. If you listen to any podcasts, you probably hear everyone droning on about iTunes reviews. And it's because they really, really matter. Mm-hmm. When people are searching for a podcast, iTunes is one of the number one places people will go. And reviews are one of the biggest ways that kind of help your podcast to be found. So for those of you who have given a review for the Happy Hearthstone, I so appreciate it. And I want to thank the two of you who left them this week. One was from Maximum Carnage 666, who said, "The longest running Hearthstone podcast." That's a fact. "A great and long running Hearthstone podcast. The long running usually means it's good, strong, and well polished compared to other Hearthstone podcasts. These guys could use your support and they deserve it." Well, thanks so much, man. I also saw Max Carnage on Twitter. He was really trying to reach out to pretty much all the podcasts he listens to and review them. I would really encourage you guys, if this is the only show you listen to, all the more reason to go and leave a review. But if you listen to this amongst some other podcasts, go and just, you know, give them all a little bit of a boost. It really means a lot. It takes just a few minutes of your time, but especially if you listen to several, once you kind of get going and you realize, oh, that just took me like 2 minutes. I can do that really? Real quick. You know, I do it while you're watching your Netflix binge of the week, you know, whatever right. it is. I hope it's Parks and Rec. But the other review we've got here is from Drew Ho, who said "Giggle Songs," which is an interesting title. Appreciate the positivity and the insight. I'll follow you about anywhere, Andrew. Thumbs up. Man, thank you so much. That means a lot. Awesome. So yeah, really appreciate you two doing that. And I wish I had some way to really thank those of you who have done it once in the past, because you can't do it again, but I still so appreciate it. If you haven't done it, please this week, just take a couple minutes and do that. It means the world. It makes a big difference, helps other people find the show. So I will thank you in advance for that and look forward to reading them next week. But until then, Giggle Songs, I can only assume, was saying that songs make this guy giggle. So we've got a card of the week that we need to bring in, and I need your help to get us there.
Camellias, he'll show your hand, and I'll play him slow. In my deck is where he goes. His name is Camellias.
Nice.
That was a cringe for me, but I hope that was good enough.
That was perfect. That was exactly what it needed to be. And this card is way too cool to not talk about, so tell us about definitely. Who Camellias is.
So Camellias is the priest legendary. It's a 1-mana 1/1 legendary beast, which is weird. Each turn this is in your hand, transform into a card your opponent is holding.
And whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think
that's did they just crazy. Do that?
I think they went there, man. Like, your opponent is holding, though. Like, that's... If your opponent's got two cards and, like, two turns, you know, it's, like, it's just... I think it's pretty cool.
I agree with you. It's obviously weird that it's a beast. I mean, it makes sense because it is. But why do you think they would target Priest for this mechanic? Because... obviously, this mechanic is strong. Just the fact that it lets you know a card in your opponent's hand. Like, there's nothing else. I guess Dirty Rat kind of did that, but it threw it onto the board, so you're kind of having to deal with it at the same time. This is the first time you can actually see something that's in your opponent's deck, and then you've got an option to play it or to keep, you know, rotating a different card each turn, kind of. So, do you feel like Priest is the right class to have that ability?
I mean, whenever I first started playing, Rogue had Burgle. You know, like, Rogue had all this. Yep. And they have Shaku. They have, what's the 4-mana, 4/5? The one that gives you random...
Lillian Voss.
Thank you, yeah. Yes. But for Priest to have this, like, with Dragonkin Operative going away, like, Dragonkin searched the deck. Nothing really messes with your hand except for Dirty Rat, like you said. So I can't think of a reason why they would target Priest. I mean, maybe they felt like Priest wouldn't have anything else going on after the expansion, but I don't think that'll be true.
Right. So, and Priest has had, like, Thought Steal and Devour Mind to copy stuff from the opponent's deck, but, I mean, this is a very strong effect. I'm really interested to see if this card gets teched in to tournament decks, because knowing for sure what one of the cards in your opponent's hand is a big deal, but just holding this in your hand just as like it, kind of a mirror, and then how much does that wig you out? Well, I guess you don't even know. You don't even know. Oh my gosh, that's even a whole other level.
It's kind of insane.
I think that the tournament scene is. I'm just really interested to see if this finds. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense from what we can see now that it would fit into a certain deck. But I kind of wonder if it's just a tournament play that you put Camellios in Priest every Priest deck that you have for a tournament. And for if you're unfamiliar, ban strategies are a really important part of tournament play also. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you ban Priest because you don't want your opponent to have the option of Camellios. I mean, it seems so pigeonholed, but this I think this effect could be powerful enough to make those decisions actually possible, you know? It's not just insanity.
And I mean, Dirty Rat isn't even an option. I don't even think you could Dirty Rat this out, right? Because sometimes it'll be spells, sometimes it'll be like your own minion. So this is just like such an insane card. I'm really excited to try it. I think that's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, and I really want to see it in golden also, because if it changes colors, I might have to craft it. I mean,
yes,
that could be too pretty to stay away from.
One thing about having a chameleon I've noticed are his eyes. They are the coolest thing ever.
Oh, yeah, you said you actually have a chameleon, yeah?
Yes, yeah, I actually have a chameleon. His name is Steve. Very normal name for a chameleon, but yeah, I love him. And when I saw this, I was like, PogChamp, it's my chameleon.
It's my boy.
It's my boy. I loved it. Yeah, That's very fun.
Here. All right. Well, we'll both be hoping for a day one open on Camellios.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you know as soon as I get him.
Likewise. It sounds good.
Sounds good.
Great. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show and remind you guys, as always, that you are the happy Hearthstone. This podcast exists for you. It's sustained by you. This show is all about this great community. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart just for listening to this episode. If it's your very first time, or if you've been listening since the very beginning when we started the day after Hearthstone was announced. That's why we're the longest running one. But this continues to only be possible because of you guys. So thank you guys so much. And I want to ask that if this is one of your favorite shows, that you would just consider how you can support the show through our iTunes review, through our Patreon, through engaging on Twitter, and all the different links that I'll throw at you as well here a little bit later. And I have to send a humongous thank you to our producers of the Happy Hearthstone, Red Knight, Jordan L, and our brand new producer, Ryzen. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show at the highest level. You guys really play not an insignificant role in making this thing possible. So thank you guys. Every single episode, I think about you. I thank you. And just so thankful to have a team like you guys here. So, and as always, would love to hear what you thought about the show, what you'd like to see added in future episodes. You know, I mentioned that our website was getting a huge overhaul from my buddy Venga Dragon, and it should be live this week. So as you're listening to this, you can go check out thehappyhearthstone.com. If it says coming soon, then it's coming soon. But if it's brand new and shiny, yay, it's here. So either way, it should be here soon. And I'm really psyched. This thing is has got more info jam-packed than you could ever imagine. And there's going to be even more ways that you guys can be a part of what's happening here in some really unique ways. So be sure to go to thehappyhearthstone.com and see if it's there. If that's not there yet, you can go to thehappyhearthstone.podbean.com to check out the latest episodes and see all of the links in the show notes and stuff. Be sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at @AndrewIsLiving if you haven't yet. And with that pair, I want to know how I can stay connected with you. I mean, the truth is I'm already connected with you, but I'm sure we got a lot of people who want to keep following you, want to see your awesome Twitch, and want to see you open some packs here really soon. So how can they do that?
Oh, well, I would be, you know, very thankful if anybody listening would go give me a follow on Twitch, twitch.tv/pair_HS, because you have to have more than 4 letters in your Twitch name. And also, I know, right? Also on Twitter, @pair_HS, I think I just hit 200, almost up to 400, I think, on Twitch. And
hey,
when I hit
way
400,
to go.
Yeah, I'm going to do a giveaway, actually, when we hit 400. So I'm very excited.
Nice.
Be sure to, you know, follow and check out for any updates on that. That'll be pretty fun.
Now is the time to join the community. Do you have a name for your followers on Twitch?
For my followers?
Or like, for your community?
Oh, well, I mean, not really. Like, we were talking about starting a tournament, and we're wanting to call it, like, the Fruit Cup or something. So, probably something related to fruit in some way.
Hmm.
But I haven't thought of it.
Taking suggestions, I suppose,
exactly.
If people have ideas or something.
Yes,
so.
At me in Discord. Actually, Discord, too, because it's just hair.
Oh, that's even easier.
Yeah, but, yeah, anywhere. Give me suggestions, guys.
Perfect. Well, Pear, I'm so thankful that we got to do this. I know we had some trouble scheduling stuff up front, but it really has been a pleasure having you on the show. I'm so appreciative you take the time to come be with us, share your wisdom as we close up this season, and share the excitement as we're eagerly anticipating the next.
Yeah, thank you so very much for having me. It's been an absolute blast. I hope I can come on again sometime.
Absolutely. We'll definitely make it happen. And hey, thank you guys so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you guys again next time.
Bye, guys.